हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय हरि बोलिताय ओके सो कैंटो वन चैप्टर वन एंड ऑन वर ऑन नाउ वर्स आर वी ऑन on 1 3 yeah verse 3 right or do we go into 4 now
No, I think we're still on three.
oh okay yes we're still on 3 okay so then this is continuing I think this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna's rasa is indescribable, amrita, and flows away quickly from the mind and eye, drava. Therefore, drink that indestructible nectar in the form of his lips. In that case, nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam means raganuga bhakti, which is the fully ripened fruit, galitam, on the tree of the Vedas. End quote. See, it's here they're showing the case. So, you're going to get also that we, means you have, depending upon the case that's being used, they're trying to bring out a particular flavor that's there. And so many times means one is you have the words themselves and what their roots and then the various variety of synonyms and then which of those synonyms would fit the natural explanation that's there. But you also have the case endings. And in Sanskrit, much of the time when you're dealing with, I think there's 7 or 9 cases. And so, eight, like that. And so then that's counting possessive and all that. Okay. So then, you also get that some of them have the same ending. Right? So depending upon means, because the rule in Sanskrit, the acharyas explain is, what is the most straightforward understanding? That's what's used. And only when the straightforward is not used, then you know that it's using poetics, right? I mean, it's always poetic in that it's nicely worded and the words flow very nicely, but it means that it's like saying the beautiful city of Navadvip on the Ganga. Right now we know Navadvip's not floating on the Ganga. They're not the Mayan civilization that had their capital city floating on a lake, right? So this just means it's next to, right? But you say it that way, it sounds very pleasant in that. So many times there are certain words and phrases that we say that are literal, and then there's certain phrases that we say that are, I think it's metaphorical or something like that. It just means that it has that poetic aspect. So you have the Lakshana Shakti and the Abhida Shakti. Abhida Shakti means what the direct meaning is, right? And the Lakshana Shakti means is saying what it is that you want to say, but saying it in a poetic way. And when one's applying, the other doesn't. Right, so then you have to see is then, and then how do you say, oh well, what is the because it could mean so many things in this, because you're going to get those who are into scholarship, they love the idea that there's so many options, right? People like options and all that, but the point is in this case the intellectual thing is the intellectual options are the taste. Right? That's why it says scholars can't understand. Right? It's a direct point. This is not just, oh, some scholar, this and that. Those who identify as scholars cannot understand. That's what's being going on. Because the problem is in this scholarship, then there's so many, you know, they have all the options. So they want to pick whichever ones, you know, would sound nice to them. You know, so you have to have a, what do you call? You have to have a, the hermeneutics means what is your philosophy, right? So then the dasamul of Lord Chaitanya, and that dasamul then being applied, then you see is that it then means that this is what it means. It doesn't mean something else, right? So, and but that may have various aspects, right? Because just we see like some places, then the acharyas, then they say it means like this, but it could also mean this, and it means this, and it means this. So when they're saying or, it doesn't mean, well, it's this one or this one, so which is it? It means it's all these different angles. So then there's five angles, and depending upon which one you want to bring out, you know? And then you could say, oh, but then that's not, you know, direct. That would be Lakshana. But no, these are, because Krishna is unlimited, there's all these points. Like there's that famous story, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving class on Bhagavatam. And some scholar, someone's there and saying, oh, but you only have this one understanding and this and that. You know, you're very limited because you're sticking to the Vaishnav Siddhanta. But we scholars, you know, we can see so many, you know, meanings and backgrounds. You're saying it means this and Krishna's God, but you could also, by, you know, dealing with the grammar and juggling it around like Shankaracharya comes, you could say that the vase with the flowers in it needs to change the water, you know, and stuff like this, you know. And to them, oh, that's so fun. Oh, wow, look at what I did, you know. So in other words, they're enamored by what they can do with their intelligence and playing with the grammar rather than doing something with it. It's like children, just that they're super intelligent children, right? That's all. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then he said, no, there's so many meanings like that, so many angles, because Krishna is unlimited, so there's unlimited angles. So he proceeded to, on the first verse, means the one that we're on, no, we're on three now, but on the first verse, he then spoke on it every day and gave a different angle each time for 90 days. Right, so he showed 90 different ways you could look at. You could go on more, but it's just beyond that. It's like Madhvacharya then, when he was doing the, he was giving a commentary for Vishnu Sahasranam, right? And I can't remember how many went through, but he went through the whole thing, gave what is this and that. Then he went back and started again, and started again and again and again. And I think it was after, like, I can't remember, what comes to mind is 40. Then all his, these are all the Vaishnav pundits and, you know, like that. They said, that's it. Our brain can't handle anymore. So he stopped there. But otherwise, they keep on going. Krishna's unlimited. They could give unlimited aspects. So that's the point, is that the taste, the rasa and all that is so great. There's so many fine points that are there, you know, but you have the main principles that are there, but the detail is unlimited, right? You know, so it's like, you know, you're talking about something, let's say something of cooking. You can talk about one angle of it, you know, how it looks, its presentability, its attractiveness, and this and that. You could talk about its aroma and what kind of aroma and this and that. And, you know, what kind of, is it a fresh aroma? Is it a warm aroma? You know, what kind of aroma? You could talk about the different flavors that are there and the combination. You could talk about the techniques. You could talk about what you could pair it with. Like, you can just keep going on and on. So people that are enthusiasts in this area, they can do that. So the point is if you're enthusiastic about Krishna, then the fine points of Krishna and his rasa and how he looked, how he dealt, how he stood, how you can just go on unlimitedly. So that's why we have to be, you know, see that when the acharyas bring these things out, it's not just, oh, look at me, I'm so smart, I can give another angle. No, this is just, there's this angle and that. And so they see what is worth bringing out for us. Because there's unlimited. Like the Acharyas, we know that they've written a certain amount of books and they're all attributed to them. And the names are there, Prabhupada, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it comes up to the different Acharyas, the Goswamis, he lists their books, right? Like that. You know, like we see in First Canto of Bhagavatam, when you come up to introducing a new personality, Prabhupada then gives a biography of them in the purport. So you know the background and how the connection is and everything, so you can appreciate the story. Because you don't have the full 100,000 verses of Mahabharata there that it's going to slowly, slowly develop each one and bring them up and all that where they came in. It's just starting with Uttara and going to Krishna and saying, "Do you please save me from the Brahmastra?" And so then the background, and then Arjuna comes up in the background, and everybody, it comes up like that. So he does the same with the Acharyas and shows their what books they wrote. And it's a lot of books. And we've heard of most of the books, and there's some that are some of the smaller books or some of the other books we may or may not have heard about. But besides this, they wrote a whole pile of books that after writing it and discussing amongst themselves, they were saying, "No, we can't. These can't be given to, the devotees, these sadhakas that are there, those who are on the transcendental platform, and say, Bhava and Prema, like they can appreciate them, but if they're below that level, then it won't be." So for the preaching mission, for Lord Chaitanya's mission to pick up all the living entities, they won't be useful. They might even distract them. So behind Sanatana Goswami's samadhi at Banad Mahan in Vrindavan, when you start around, when you get to the back, behind him, means his right back corner, there's a samadhi there for the books. It's called a Grantha Samadhi. So they took the books, put them all nicely and all that, and buried them. Right, they decided which ones would stay, which ones won't, and then buried them. So the point is it's not that they can do so much more. These are the ones that they feel we will benefit from hearing, and not only we means you get any level. So the neophyte would appreciate it, the Madhyama would appreciate it, the Uttama would appreciate it. So all three will appreciate. They may see only so much that's there, but they appreciate, right? So when he's saying here, Raghunath, Raghunuga Bhakti, Nigama Kalpa Taro Galitam Phalam, means Raghunuga Bhakti, which is the fully ripened fruit, Galitam, on the tree of the Vedas. So now, if you can see that translation of these Sanskrit words, and you see, "Oh yeah, I didn't think of it like that. That's really nice." Then you can say, "Yes, okay, you are a Sanskrit scholar." And if you say, no, it doesn't mean that. The literal meaning is this." Then you're one of the scholars that the Bhagavatam's talking about that you can't understand. It's that simple. Of course, the living entity is imbued with a false ego that doesn't allow for such discussions, but that's factually what we're dealing with, because that's the whole point of these first three verses. Is anything that's not of use to the Bhagavatam, of you, I mean, understanding the Bhagavatam, the practice of the Bhagavatam, and you becoming absorbed in pure, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna is kicked out. So if you don't understand these first three verses, means what we get there is not that it means understand means we don't have any doubts about it. No, it means this, it means that, and then we'll have no problem reading the Bhagavatam. And as we read more and more, we'll become more and more. Go deeper and deeper, because it said that the first nine cantos then prepare you for the 10th canto, because that brings you up a point of self-realization where you actually understand, who you are, who Krishna is, what the material world is, whatever level, even if it's on the neophyte level, but you have an understanding. So then you can approach and appreciate Krishna in the 10th canto, from that level. But as you mature, then it comes up to the Madhyama platform, comes up to the Uttama platform, comes to the platform of Prema. And that, and so it's important to understand. So we have to be very clear to not be distracted by these so-called exercises in how do you say, academic grandeur that some people, how you say, are the academic grandeur that they have, you know, overburdens them with its greatness, you know. And so because of that, they're unable actually to understand what's going on. And so then they go off on all these tangents. So in other words, because there are options, you have to know which ones are the ones and which ones are not used, right? Because words have synonyms. Some have, you know, 15, 20 synonyms, but you know, in this case, if you know the language, it means this, right? Now, someone from another language that's learned, you know, your language, and that might say, no, but it can also mean this, but that's not what someone using the words in this combination would mean. I like that. Does that make sense? So here are people from the spiritual world that this is their language and they are speaking and all that. You know, it means Braj Bhasha is this, you know, the standard what you use, but it's not that Sanskrit's not known. It means we have, you can say is no, but they just only know that, only the scholar, only in Vaikuntha. It's the cowherd boys when they came, you know, in the pastime where Krishna and Balaram are hungry and they went to the yogic Brahmins, right? They go to the yogic Brahmins, and so Krishna said, you know, go ask them. They're Brahmins. Surely they'll give. They're doing their charitable. They're this and that. They go to them, but they say, no, we're doing the yogic right now, so we can't stop this for this and that. The cowherd boys who have just walked in, cowherd boys, right? And so in this pastime, I'm not sure exactly what the age was. But we know that where they're going in this with the cows, that means they're at six and above, right? And so between, you could say they're between six and 15, you know? That would be the thing. But most likely, I kind of get the idea this is a younger, so it's more of a Pau Gandha pastime, but it might not be. No, because the queens had the conjugal, I mean, the wives had that conjugal attraction. So he might have been in the Kishore. So then you have a bunch of, you know, adolescents, right? They go up there looking at the scene. They say, no, but you're in this part of the yajna, and they're mentioning the Sanskrit terms, and therefore in this you have a break that you can then feed people, give in charity, do all this before you start the next section. And that's very technical knowledge. Cowherd boys, you know, yeah, they're cool. And they're saying the words in Sanskrit. They're not sitting there tripping over themselves because they only know Braj Bhasha. You know, that's the language you talk to. It's like, let us say you're living in one place that there's the formal language used, but then you have your language you use amongst your friends or your family or that, and you use that when you're talking, but it's not that you don't understand the other one and you can't switch between them. Does that make sense? You know, so this is what's going, of course, none of this makes sense if you're a native English speaker, but if you're something beyond a native English speaker, many of these things might have more of a understanding like that, you know. So yes, for me, I'm speaking from what I've heard from others that do speak more than one language, but for, yeah. So, you know, it's like the, what do you call it? You have the Braj Basi or Vrajavasi, and then you have the Vrajanivasi. So Vrajavasi means they're born there, grew up there. Nivasi means they came later, they weren't born there, and became part of that culture and all that. So then we're more on that platform. Yeah. So this is they're revealing what it means, and the point is what they reveal is what's important to us, because the Shastra has so much meaning depending upon all the angles and all that. And so the practical things for who, whether you're in karma, into jnana, into yoga, into bhakti, and then in bhakti and what kind of flavor you're going and things like that. So all of these things that the Shastra says are all true and bona fide, but then you have your line, because your line takes you to a certain place. Like you go to the bus stand or the train station, all the trains are bona fide. But if you want to get to a particular place, you have to take that trains, all trains lead to this. No. Like that. They don't. They lead to various positions. So according to that kind of thing, that's then what we look at. That's what we're trying to do. So we want to follow our acharyas, how they give, how they explain. That's what we follow. And that's what then makes us in that particular line, the Gaudiya line. And then of that, then we're following Srila Prabhupada. And then we're understanding how the previous acharyas are explaining things in light of how Srila Prabhupada is revealing it to us. And then we can see like that. Because you can say, no, I can do on my own. Then you really have to be confident of your own intelligence to think, no, I can read this and understand this myself. But that may give you some kind of literary or grammatical understanding. But what about the actual essence of what it means? And if you don't get that, you don't get the Braj. You know? So, as Srila Prabhupada's given us, you follow that nice to a face, that's what you get. But if you have some other ideas that are flavored by karma or jnana, you know, or you're interested in other sampradaya, no, then you end up in different places. Literally. Like that. Prabhupada said, you have a direction, it goes, you know, it's exactly on target, you get there. And if it's off by just a little bit, 1 degree off, okay. You know, in this room, 1 degree won't be much off. But how far from here to Goloka? 1 degree, you know, is, you know, you'll be out there, you know, you'll be out in the ozone there with, what's that guy's name? Neil? That physicist? Celebrity physicist?
Degrassi.
Yeah, Degrassi. Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson. You'll be out there with him somewhere floating around. Hey, you know, like that. Hey, I can turn myself upside down. And, you know, like that. Whoa, I can touch my nose like this. You know, and you can be doing all that stuff. So to avoid that, then we stick to the acharyas, you know, on the direct active meanings of devotional service and what features supporting that of the devotional, of the religious process. Like in other words, in Daiva Varnashram, what makes it Daiva as opposed to just Varnashram? One is that it's connected to Krishna. So if it's connected to Krishna, that means it's for his pleasure. So as Gaudiyas, which features would we be connecting in what way? And so we see that because bhakti being beyond all this, like we say, yeah, we're beyond Varnashram, but that means. But the point is you have to engage your conditioned nature. And so since there is no, Varnashram is not necessary for the practice of bhakti, but it's being used as an instrument, then you look at which ones did they use, which aspects did they use, which did they quote, which did they practice. Because there's also in Varna, there's so much in religion, it's so big. Because it's more the detail, so it has so much. So we see them, and that's why it says follow in the footsteps. Follow in the footsteps means their footstep is there. You step there. You don't step somewhere else. Hey, look over there, you know. You know, you go, wow, long way down, you know. You don't do that stuff. No, you just step on where they stepped, step exactly there. Because you know by doing that, we'll get to where we get. And if you're... think, no, I can do this on my own, then hey, go for it. Krishna has, we're saying, no, I'm going to do fine in the material world. I'm going to be, you know, prosperous and, you know, everything's going to be great, you know, respected and, you know, have all facility and whatever I want, you know, to happen happens and all that. And yeah, how is that going for us? Right? So then when the living entity decides, okay, we got a problem here and we got to give that up. So then, then okay, Krishna, then he puts in devotees, then they're going to follow them, or you're going to say, no, so that's the whole point, is it's a matter of surrender to Krishna means your intent then is to please Krishna, right? It means bad habits may be there, takes time to adjust these things, make the sadhana steady and everything like that, but it's still, your intent is that, and so you're trying to get there. And so then that's the aspect. And then if you're doing something that technically isn't very correct, but you think, yes, I'm doing this to please Krishna, then if you're sincere and wanting to please Krishna, then Krishna will point out how what you're doing isn't actually very correct. Then you have the opportunity. Now, do you take that, or do you continue with this foolishness, right? Because anything material is foolish, right? So then it's just a matter of, okay, then what do you do? How do you take it? Do you appreciate that? Are you absorbed in that? And so then if you are, then Krishna will show you how to, because it's sadhana means step by step. The word is used krame, that it means krame means, in order, one after the other. So then you start here, and it's like going up steps. You start in the first one, then you step there, then you step to the next, because you're using both feet, like Prabhupada always talks about, that it's two things. You have the pure devotional service, and then you have the Daivarnashram. Because pure devotional service is the soul. The Daivarnashram is your conditioned nature through which you express it. Right? And you follow those things that are there. So now in the spiritual world, you, the soul, your mood, you're only going to have a form that matches that. You're not going to have something else. Right? So therefore, following the form of Daiva Varnashram is exactly in line with your nature, of the particular rasa, what you do and everything like that. The pure devotion, that's pure devotion. But I'm meaning just how you're going to express that the forms of Varnashram that would be there naturally fit it. Right? But in this material world, we have our nature is there because of whatever we've done in the past in the material world itself. And therefore, we've gotten this particular body. Right? And then you use that for Krishna. That's what they're doing. In the spiritual world, they use their form for Krishna. And so we're doing the same thing here. We as devotees, we move whatever form and what situations we're in and what facilities we have for Krishna. That's what they're doing in the spiritual world. It's not a matter of prestige. Do you ever hear Mother Yashoda then telling others, "Hey, I'm the queen of Vrindavan, and everybody's got to listen to me, and I say, Krishna stays home, and that's the way it is, and that, and if Nanda Baba doesn't agree, then we'll see who's boss, and every huh? Yeah. So they don't do that. They don't get into that. It's about pleasing Krishna. And that's the field they move in. So Mother Yashoda moves in her field within Vrindavan, serving Krishna. The cowherd boys move in theirs. The gopis move in theirs. The cows move in theirs. The cows aren't coming in. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see Krishna and his breakfast pastimes, where they're laughing and joking, between Nanda Baba and his brothers and the cowherd boys, and Madhu Mangal cracks so many nice jokes, and then the gopis are there. I want to see that. So then suddenly you hear this, trundling down the halls and all that, and I'm sure, what's going on here? And then all the cows stick their heads in. Ooh, yeah. Like that. So yeah. We don't see that. They don't do that. That they're there in the cow shed when Krishna comes out and milks. That's their time. When he goes back in the house, that's his time with Mother Yashoda. When he takes them out to the fields of the cowherd boys, that's their time. When he brings them back and they go to the Goshala, that's they're there. Same with the cowherd boys. They come in the morning to see Krishna, after when he gets up at Nanda Bhavan. They don't come and say, "Well, he's out in the forest with the gopis. We'd like to see." That also, hey, let's crash that party. No, that's the hope. That's why the term crashing a party isn't considered good like that, because it just doesn't work. It mixes rasas that don't do. The gopis are out dancing. They don't go out in the day. They don't, who cares, like that. No, they follow their scene. So all these scenes are all interacting together. That's all Braj. And that makes the wonderfulness of the pastimes and all the variety. It creates unlimited variety because each one has so much, each one is limited in itself. And then the ways that they can contact each other then there's unlimited ways, and in that way, just eternally goes on, just creating more and more wonderful pastimes. So that's the point. So we want to be there and exactly following our acharyas, because yes, there are unlimited things there, but you want to be with your acharyas. We want to follow in their footsteps. And if you don't, hey, don't worry, Maharas, all the gopis come together. But when it's not Maharas, the other 364 days of the year, then yeah, you may be in a different place. So we stick to our acharyas. This fully ripened fruit is Raganuga Bhakti, following after the sentiments of the gopis, which is the highest type of love. So here, following after the sentiments, that doesn't mean it's sahajya and that. It means, like we saw Bhishma Dev, he's saying that the gopis, their surrender and all that, all devotees can learn from them how to surrender and make everything for Krishna. So even those who are in Vaikuntha and accepting the four kinds of Vaishnav liberation, they understand that you could be more surrendered. And so they appreciate that. It means those who are on that level, the higher level of those devotees. So following the footsteps means their full surrender, pure unalloyed bhakti, that everybody can follow in. We're not saying that, oh, you're in the pastimes running. No, you're not in the pastimes running around. We're in the Sankirtan pastimes, like that. And so that we're taking part in this particular manifestation of the Prakat Lila. And so then it's going on. We can take part. But the point is we're assistants in these things, right? This is an acceptable meaning because, as mentioned, the Brihad Vamana Purana, the Vedas, taking up that type of bhakti, accepted the forms of hundreds of thousands of gopis and drank the sweet rasa of his lips. The Veda, okay, mentioned the Brihad Vamana Purana, the Vedas taking up that kind of bhakti. So the personified Vedas, they took up that kind of bhakti. And they became the forms of hundreds of thousands of gopis. There's a lot of personified Vedas, huh? And drank the sweet rasa of his lips. This very secret meaning can be seen in the prayers of the personified Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam 1087. 1087. So why he's saying this is an acceptable meaning, because there'll be many scholars who say, no, it's not. That's not what it's saying, because they know the grammar to a certain degree or how to use it. In other words, people work within the context of what they know. But when you're working with the subtleties of Braj and all that, then there's so many more meanings that can be there, the hidden meanings and all that. Vaikuntha, everything's more straightforward. It's like court. Everything's there very nicely. It's done very nicely. So they'll use the words to mean in a certain way. But then he's bringing out there's these subtler meanings and everything like that. Yes. Gee.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeasances. I
Right.
want to ask you, when you are explaining there is unlimited living entities, every one living entity has some special rasa in the contact with the Krishna. And it was Krishna personally who arranged all these different rasas, or there is the another Vishnu Tattva which was creating.
No. The rasas all come from Krishna. Krishna is rasa. Just like we'll say we're in a relationship with Krishna in a particular rasa, right? So, but Krishna is rasa. That's the point of this third verse, is that Krishna is rasa. As Bhagavan, he is rasa. As Paramatma, he is God. He is the Lord and controller of all energies. As Brahman, he is the absolute all-pervading truth that everything is based on, the existence of everything, right? So Bhagavan means rasa, because that's the whole point, is if you just have the energy, control of it, that's the position. The other is the existence of it. Then there's the position within the existence. Then there's the taste. So that's the point. That's the aspect of Prayojana, is that taste. So then then it's all Krishna. But we have to remember is that all the expanses of Krishna are also Krishna. It's just he's taken that expansion for a particular purpose. Because it's like this, it's his desire that's being fulfilled in Braj. And he is interacting with the devotees based on love, right? That prema. But at the same time, as for a pastime, you need certain situations to enhance it. And you need certain activities that produce results that will enhance that rasa, right? Because you always have sambandha abhideya prayojana. So prayojana is Krishna's pleasure from the experience and of love with the devotees. That means they're expressing it through an action, abhideya, in a particular situation. So that means that the sambandha and abhideya features have to be organized, right? So that means Krishna has expanded as Balaram. That's what he takes care of. So that's why it's always Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, because of this aspect. You'll say, oh, Gornitai lower, we're Gorgadadhar, highest level. And that, these guys are like full of bull dung. Like that. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, Sar er gober. Sar means bulls, and gober means dung. It's that they don't understand these. I mean, you're talking, okay. There's Radhakund, but what's the existence of Radhakund? What do you do at Radhakund? So they're going to dance at Radhakund, or they're going to swim at Radhakund. That's an action. That requires those potencies to make all that work. Where is that coming from? That's Balaram's potency. That means probably a different example other than Radhakund would be better, because that's the unique thing when it says Govardhan is Krishna himself, because the pastimes with the gopis are there at such a level that Balaram himself isn't involved. So Krishna himself is taking care of that. That's the unique thing. That's why it says, you know, of everything, then there's Golok. Of Golok, there's Braj. Of Braj, there's Govardhan. And Govardhan, there's Radhakund. Because Govardhan is Krishna. So Balaram will come there for pastimes, but he's not. He is expanded as through his potency as the Dham, as Vrindavan, but not as Govardhan. That's directly Krishna. So the pastimes that are there, that's Krishna dealing. It's just like the Chaturvyuha, the first Chaturvyuha is expanding directly from Krishna. So those pastimes are the pastimes of the Brajvasis, how the Brajvasis have come as the Dorkavasis, right? And they can move back and forth, as we see in Rupa Goswami's play, Vidugdha Madhava, right? It's showing that it's all about Radhan, about Krishna, Dwarka, and Rukmini, and Satyabhama, and then how it all works out between them. And once it all works out where, like that in the pastime, then Satyabhama is saying, let's go back to Vrindavan. And it's interesting, in the words that they're saying, they'll say Satyabhama, or Rukmini, you know, or they'll say Uddhava, right? But in when, you know, but before you have the line that the person says in a drama, it says whose the name it is, it'll say Radharani. Then she says what Satyabhama says. And it's, you know, does that make sense? Chandravali, then she says what Rukmini says. And Amadu Mangal, I think he's Uddhava, you know, so like that. So that's the far out thing, is that when it lists the names of who's speaking, it's all the Brajvasis. But the role they're playing is that of the members there. So that's that first expansion. That's what's above Mahanarayan. But then when you're talking about, no, they're there and you don't make that connection, you're talking about the second expansion that comes from Mahanarayan. Right? So that's what basically you could say the other sampradayas are all dealing with. They're not, except for the, I would tend to say, except for the Gaudiyas, no one else deals with that first level. You know, Braj and that level of Dwarka and pastimes. Everybody else is dealing with the second level. like that. And some of them don't even see that full thing. They only see that there's the Mahanarayan, like I said, the Shris. There's Mahanarayan, then the Chaturvyuha, and then Mahavishnu, and then Kiradakshai, and then he expands as the Leela avatars. Then they see those pastimes. So Dwarka, Vrindavan, all those pastimes are here in the Boma Leela. They don't have them in the spiritual world. They only have their being with Mahanarayan. And that's just their flavor. That's what they know. You know? It doesn't mean that's all what's going on there, but that's the portion that they're in is all they know. We have to remember, Goloka being 51% is 1.5 times the size of the whole material creation together, including Mahavishnu and the causal ocean. And that, you know, we're in, you know, it's like, you know, one grain of sand in the unlimited, or one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. And I'm sure when they're talking mustard seeds here, they mean, I think it's called rye. It's the smallest little mustard seeds, not these big ones that we eat most of the time. They're really, really small. They have a slightly different flavor. So in some things you use rye and sometimes you use the other mustard like that. So, you know, you have one of those, you know, sacks this big, you know, that you carry the potatoes in and fill that with those mustard seeds there. How many are there? There's, you know, it's like there's a ridiculous amount. And that's just to give an idea. It's uncountable. And so that's how big Goloka is. So there's plenty of space for all the devotees. You know, Dwarka can have so many facets from Dhamma. That's why we're saying millions of gopis come for the Maharas. That means there's so many facets of Vrindavan, and they come together for Maharas. And the rest of the time, they're in their own manifestation of. That's why I'm saying you may not bump into them at that point. Yeah, maybe everyone's hanging out, but after that, no. So that's why you want to be with Srila Prabhupada. You follow him, then you'll be there with him, like that. Otherwise, then hey, it's a big place. You know?
Thank you, Mara.
So therefore Krishna comes as all these other avatars, and so you may have that mood of being connected there, like we were seeing with Bhishma Dev. He's connected with Krishna in that mood of Partha Sarathi, where he, out of his love for his devotee, is coming as his charioteer, and he's willing to break his own vow to protect this devotee. Like you see when Yudhishthir Maharaj, then, you know, and Kunti Devi, she says something, right? She says, when they bring Draupadi like that, you know, send the day, oh, we brought, you know, instead of saying, oh, you know, there we won the Swayamvar, and we brought, you know, and Arjuna won, you know, how you say, Draupadi and the Swayamvar, and so please come meet your new daughter-in-law, and like that. They just said, oh, we came out, we went begging today. I mean, you should come see what we gained from begging. And I think she may be a little tired or something like that. So she, yeah, whatever's there. And, you know, as they always do, share it equally amongst you. Right? And so then when she did come in and see, then it's like, oh, what did I say? Because, you know, how does five brothers share one wife? Right? And so then it's, but I've said it, it has to happen. And Yudhishthira's saying, but I'm, you know, I never say or do anything or even think anything that's not religious. And I don't have a problem with it. You know? And so then, you know, there's all these things like that, but it's about the word. Or Arjuna says, if anybody, what was this thing? Insults, I think, the Gandiva bow, he'll kill them. He's made that vow or something. And then at one point, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is frustrated, and, you know, just the way the fight is going, he mentions something about, you know, even with Uganda, you could do this and that. And then, you know, Krishna's there. And then Arjuna is like, you know, by my vow, I have to kill my brother. You know, so what to do? I don't want to do that. So Arjuna, then Krishna says, by insulting him, it's as good as killing. Right? Because in Manu it says, killing a Brahmin or insulting him is the same. Like that. So you insult the Brahmin, it's as good as killing. So, and that's one of the, that's a sin that there is no prayaschitta for. So people are saying, oh, we have the prayaschitta for this and that. You don't have one for this. Like that. If it's by accident, you know, just that's, you know, it still doesn't have one, but, you know, you could just with time. But if you did it on purpose, nope. You're toast. You know, so then it's just going to be a matter of time. By the grace of the holy name, chanting for a long time, then these things adjust. But other than devotional, so there is no prayaschitta. So that means, for being in the material world, there's no actual prayaschitta to get out. Otherwise, why wouldn't people have gotten out? They never get out. Like that. You know, it means the spiritual world, once going, you never return. Material world is once getting here, you never get out, right? You know, like, well, not once coming here, you never get out. So it's only by the influence of the holy name and the Vaishnavas that you get out, because they're beyond, so they can take you beyond. So therefore, we can see is that for the Kshatriyas, their word, their vow is so important. You can't go, you can't break that, right? So then, ratchet it back. Where did that come from?
From the different rasas.
Yes. I was thinking there. I think it was some detail that I forget that. So there's something about has to happen. Yeah. Okay. We'll just go back to the original point, so all the expansions are Krishna, but it's just as he expands, he needs to express less potency, right? Because that's what Svamsa means. It's an expansion. It's Krishna, but he's manifesting less potency. So what we're saying is him as Narayana, he only needs to manifest 60 qualities, right? But then, then Mahanarayan, he's those 60 in the maximum possible. Other Vishnu forms, it's, you know, unlimited, but, you know, there's specialness within the unlimited, right? So Mahanarayan, but then Krishna has those four that are beyond. So the rasa that someone has, oh, that's what it was. It was about Bhishma Dev and that chivalry and about that he broke his vow. That's what it was. So that Krishna, you know, play, you know, as a Kshatriya, that he made a vow and said, I'm not fighting, that he would break that to protect his devotee, then Bhishma Dev, you know, and we can't sniff it, Bhishma Dev, as far as, you know, being a rightly situated Kshatriya, you know, and it wasn't that, you know, what do you call it? Arjuna was what would be the technical term? I think wuss. he was top of the line. So here's two top of the line, you know, A-list Kshatriyas, and he's breaking his vow, to protect one from the other. And so that in the Kshatriya thing, they don't like Ramachandra. He has one word, one wife, one arrow. He doesn't break his word, right? So that's a very great thing. It's just, okay, yeah, he broke his head. I break mine all the time. I say, you know, it's like New Year's resolutions, right? This year I'm going to do that. You know, by that day, you've already started breaking down, let alone the next morning, right? So Krishna is already, you know, he's like, and that's where most of them are the next morning, right? You know, so that's something special. So Bhishma Dev, that love, that Lord that has that kind of love, that's who he's worshiping, right? So that'll be a particular form of Krishna in a particular pastime, particular place. He's in so many pastimes, but that's where it shines. That's where it's, you know, that depth is there. So all these different, either positions within the pastimes, you know, in Vraj, there's so many things, but when you're going out and doing something, that's when they stand out. You know, like, let's say, Let's say, okay, let's say, because you have, I think, who don't? Sridham. So Radharani's brother, he's considered like an equal, like Krishna. So at Mother Jashoda's house, then he's there. He'll be one of the more mature cowherd boys, more formal and everything. The younger ones may have to, be more careful and all that. And but it's not there. But of cowherd boys, then they're eating. They're just there and they're enjoying the environment. But let's say Madhu Mangal, he can stand out there. He's telling jokes and this and that and so many different kinds of things, right? And so he'll add to the relationship there, and he knows everything. So he will both be saying things that the other cowherd boys will appreciate, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, and his brothers, but he's also saying things that the gopis will appreciate, and specifically Radharani and her crew. So he can shine there. But because he can tell jokes and he's a Brahmin, right? So the Brahmin, then he gets fed nicely and everything. So they'll take. And then when he goes out with the cowherd boys, he's not the one that's going to be wrestling and all that. If it comes to a wrestling mat, now Sridham's going to stand out because he can challenge Krishna, like that, because they're equals. Does that make sense? So in different places, different devotees, that'll be their place to where they add something. Now, if they're all sitting around and drumming, like Madhu Mangal, now they'll steal his lunch and toss it around, and he's running trying to get his lunch. So that will be some fun. So everyone will, appreciate him being the center of attention. Well, actually, it's his lunch is the center of attention by both the cowherd boys and him. So it's just that various devotees, they're there in so many aspects, but it's something where they especially add because they're the unique one in that position, right? Because unlimited things, so there's going to be someone's very unique in this, and that's what's going to be, that's something special that they do. So Krishna is rasa, and as he expands, it's just the rasa expands for that expansion. So if he's in Vaikuntha, then all those devotees there are those jivas that relate to him in that way, that particular flavor. And so the rasa will be expanding from him, but he's expanded from Krishna. Does that make sense? So everything goes back to Krishna. So whatever's going on in any realm, it is there in Braj. It just doesn't have as much necessarily prominence. It just has one little feature. But it's all there, just like all the holy places are in Vrindavan. Right, but you don't see it as manhood, so Yamuna, Govardhan Hill, these stand out as the major places. But Badrinath is also there, and everything's there. Prayag is there, where like that, and so everything's there. But it has its place, how it adds just something to Vrindavan. But you take it outside now, it's a big place, and it's very important, and like that, or. Does that make sense? So everything's there in Braj. So what's major in Braj, then those are the major points that are there throughout all. And then what's the minor things, those may take more prominence in some of these other aspects. So everyone's all connected to Krishna, but it's just a matter of, depending on the flavor, then which aspect or feature of Krishna. So therefore, what matches that best? Is it Krishna in Braj? Is it Krishna in Mathura or Dwarka? Or is it Krishna in Vaikuntha? So there's always going to be some particular flavor. So Krishna is rasa, so it all comes from him. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you. It makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, sorry. Okay, so then, yeah, so this very secret meaning can be seen in the prayers of the personified Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam 1087. So there in that 1087, then they're mentioning something that this is brought out, but it may not see. And because they're personified Vedas, they can say it in like a Vedic way. Vedic words or Vedic, using, depending upon it, something aspects of the Vedic grammar or something. So they can say, so Others might say, oh no, but it means this, the jar of peanut butter sitting on the round table is very nice on toast. You know, like that. But in actuality, no, they're talking about Krishna and his lips and all these different things like that. So that's why we stick to our acharyas. It's not a matter of, oh, well, that's blind and this and that. It says, no, you're blind. You can't see what they're giving. That's why you're saying these things. If you saw what they're giving, you wouldn't say these things. So that's the, general point. Some persons explain the phrase Brahmano hi pratishtaham in another way. See, they're going back to Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna says he is the basis of Brahman, right? Because pratishta means where you establish something, like that. Yeah, you establish, it's based, it's what it's on, like pratishta tacharya. Then somebody says, no, that's not to start something, it's that samstapaka, so Krishna, in Bengali you say probably it's the pratishtatacharya, ISKCON pratishtatacharya. But then say, no, our scholars, then they say, oh no, it's samstapakacharya, because that would mean somebody goes there and puts this here, I put this down here, samstapaka, but here it's no, pratishtata means the basis. So that's the difference. Some see Prabhupada as he started ISKCON, and that's his glory. If he hadn't started ISKCON, hey, he's just another devotee. And some understand, no, he's the basis of ISKCON, and if you're not following his instructions, then it's not ISKCON. You know, as the advertisement says, if it's not ISKCON, it's not ISKCON, like that. So that's the point. One has to understand what's going on. So that's the problem. We always think we're a little smarter than Prabhupada. And it comes up quite often. Our scholars have come up and said, oh, this, no, but in your verse, saying this and that. Prabhupada was using one particular aspect because, as I said, there's two. Sometimes in the grammar, the ending's the same in a few different grammatical positions. He was using one, and they were saying, oh, but this is how the others are using it. It's like, okay, others are using it that way, but we're using it the way Prabhupada does. And so unless Prabhupada decides, okay, this is not good, the mantra was, Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, but then coming across so many of these sahajiyas that they're using it, Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya, like that, and we do bhajan, and how's your bhajan and everything bhajan? So then he said, we'll use Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya just to separate it from them. And so then he said it, and we do that. But if he didn't, why we would change it? Certainly they do. But such explanations should be regarded as incorrect since they are out of context and fanciful. Right? They're out of context. No, Krishna is the basis. Krishna himself is saying, all this has come from me, so I am the basis of Brahman. If I'm the basis of everything else, he's the basis of Brahman. If he's the basis of everything that exists, everything sitting on Brahman, so that means if he's the basis of everything, Brahman is the basis of everything, that means he is the basis of Brahman, because he, as the person, it's coming from him. It's not that there's Brahman and then there's the person. No, there's the person, and there is Brahman. If I have a light bulb, there's light. Not that there's light and then there's the light bulb. That's not scientific. You have light makes light bulb. Light bulb makes the light. So whether you see the light or whether you don't, it's just like Krishna is one. Then he decided to become many. That means you didn't see the light. It's there. We can't see it. Then he manifests the light. Then he has all these unlimited realms, unlimited devotees, all these different things like that. So that's the point. He, the person, is first. So that's why he says they're out of context and fanciful. So that's the problem with the scholarship, is they can get off on these things. So someone who is scholarly, see, being scholarly, I think is one of the qualities of the devotee, of the 26 qualities, But they're not scholars. Because why do we say, what's the difference? One is you have that quality. The other is it's your identity. That's where you see the difference. You're a devotee and you have a PhD. That's just one of the ornaments of things that you have. But if no, I'm a PhD, that's your identity, then how can you hold that I'm a PhD and I'm a devotee? That doesn't work, you know? So that's the whole point, is that, you know, we're trying to say is the meal will have all these preparations, but if you're saying the preparation is the meal, then you're missing the point. Like that. The explanation given here is correct. Mamchayovya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Brahmanohi pratishtaham amritasyavya yasyacha. Shasvatasya chadharmasya shukasyai kantikasyacha. The meaning of these verses is as follows. Though a person may question how one can attain Brahman by bhakti and how one can attain realization of the one Brahman without qualities by worshiping the Lord, you can attain realization of Brahman by worshiping me because I am the shelter, pratishtha, of even the Brahman, famous in the Shrutis as the shelter of everything. Pratishtha means that in which something is standing, right? So ISKCON is standing on Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So that's the meaning of pratishtha, right? That in which something is standing, that which is the shelter, not that which went down to some particular office in New York and registered a society and we have the paper to show it. And therefore, that makes him the Samstapakacharya. No, he's the Pratishtatacharya, because if you don't follow his instructions, even you have that piece of paper, it's so what? You know, it's like we had a devotee in, you know, in the late 30s or whatever it is, walking around with a piece of paper signed by the lawyers. And I might have probably even gone to the high court that he won the case that the Gaudiya Mutt he's in control of. And none of his other godbrothers even cared. Because that's not the Gaudiya Mutt. Gaudiya Mutt's the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he thought, no, I'm in control and I'm in charge. You know, you got to do this and that. And so that's the point. No, he's the founder. Acharya means it's based on him. It's found. It means he is the support, that in which something is standing. And if you're not, if it's not on his instructions, that's not ISKCON. ISKCON is Prabhupada's instructions. It's not an institution. It's not a building. It's not this. It's his instructions. That then, following instructions, we have a building, we have an organization, we have all the different things and all the different arrangements and all that based on the instructions. But if we think, no, I have a nice building, we have nice organization, therefore that's it. No. Like that. Pratishtha means shelter as well, right? That on which something is standing, and that is the shelter. So in other words, he is what everything is based on, and he is the shelter. That's the point. It could be both at once. That's the point of Bhagavan. He is the shelter of everything as the person, and he's the basis of everything. In many Shruti texts, such as Taittiriya Upanishad, I am the shelter of liberation, amritasya. This meaning is made clear by the word avyayasya, indestructible, since this will exclude the amrita of the heavenly planets, right? So, because if you said, okay, amritasya, so then, yes, he is the nectar, he's the highest, he's the top of the mode of goodness, so yes, the highest realm that you can get. The heavenly planets and that, yes, then Vishnu is there, but then we go beyond into the featureless and you know, unlimited and all that, and there's no form and all that. It says, no, he's the basis of that. That amritasya, you know, that aspect, the avyayasya, that indestructible amrita, and he is the basis of that. That means he's the basis of Brahman. So they're trying to say, no, Vishnu's here, and then this is beyond. He's saying, no, I'm the shelter of this. So that means he's beyond that, you know, and we see, means that you have have what's that one? I think it's Shankaracharya, Narayano. What is it? Vyakhyat, was it? He mentions that Narayan's there before creation. Narayan is the original. He just says that and then goes on, and then his people don't notice that. He's like, Prabhupada will say so many things, and we'll only catch one thing, and all the other things we don't catch. So the Shankarites are the same. Shankaracharya said something, and then they catch that one thing and don't catch that he said, or, what is it? Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Munimate, means you fools and rascals, just worship Govinda. So he's told them there that it's that, worship Govinda. He said that Narayan is there before everything, and they say before everything there's only Brahman, and so he is that Brahman, he is that person, Narayan. And there's also a book, I don't remember the name of it, but it's a book glorifying Radha and Krishna and showing their, absolute and super excellent position. And I don't know about nowadays, but back in the 80s we were talking to some Mayavadi, some big guy, and mentioned that book. Oh, I think it was at Kamakotipitam, that fifth Shankaracharya. Kamakotipitam, it's in Kanchi, I think. So then he said, yes, he's written that book. They accept that he's written that book, and that his comment was, but we cannot understand why. Why would he write that book? Because all his commentary is about the impersonal Brahmana. Why would he be writing this about Radha and Krishna is supreme and is beyond all this and above all this? And so it's one of those, yeah, he wrote it, and it's kind of, yeah, it's just, like that, just kind of put a cloth over it, kind of like that, so yeah. So that's the point, is that for those who get into that, then there's at least a basis, they follow acharyas. So at least the Mayavadis will follow, if they're proper, they'll follow acharya. You can deal with that, you can deal with those things, the logic, the grammar, the vocabulary, then you can deal with them on that. And then even if they don't accept, they can't, they have to say, what you presented is there, they may not like it, but whatever it is. But then if you're working just on the mental platform, that it's simply whatever I feel and whatever concoction I put together, you can't do anything about adjusting them. So the only thing is chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, associating with devotees, you find ways which people can, and by that they'll get purified, and then as the heart gets purified, then they'll understand. I am also the shelter of bhakti, dharmasya, which is continuous, shasvatasya, being present as sadhana and as a result of sadhana, praying. Right? So that point is continuous. So it means it's always going, it's continuous as sadhana, and when that sadhana leads to prema, it's still continuous. So that's the point. Bhakti is always going on. So that's why it said bhakti is not the goal. Right? Because we'll say, no, bhakti is the goal. No, prema, you can say, is the goal. Bhakti is the process. Once you attain prema, you're still going to be engaged in bhakti. It's the avideya. Right? You can say prema is the goal. To express that prema to Krishna, taste that prema of the devotees, that he himself is happy by the expression, that avideya, the expression through avideya of bhakti towards him, that's what then catches that's what pleases Krishna. So that's why it is, it's not, because the goal means you could think you could attain it. But yes, the expression that Krishna tasted some, that goal is attained. But the bhakti keeps going because every moment there's more and more. So he's unlimitedly tasting. Like that. Yeah? No? Okay. I am the shelter of prema, antika, an, aikantikasya sukasya. Oh, there it is. Okay. That's far out because they know the Sanskrit. So in the verse, it's sukasya aikantikasya. But but he puts it here, aikantikasya sukasya, means it's just for the grammar and for the poetics, you'll put it this way. But then the point is because of the endings, you can put the pakli in any order, and it still means the same thing. So then that he'll do like this just to bring it out, bring out this, you know, like that. The goal of sadhana bhakti. I am the shelter of prema, the goal of sadhana bhakti, right? So that's the goal of sadhana bhakti. And it's to get you there. In other words, you can say the goal of sadhana bhakti is to bring you to prema. But once you're on the platform of prema, you'll continue doing bhakti. It's not that, oh, now it's finished and we all just sit around, you know, and chant om and stuff like that, you know, like that. No, now it's you're always going to be engaged in activities, right? Because everything is dependent on me. By worshiping me with a desire for merging into impersonal Brahman, one can merge into the Brahman and attain the quality of Brahman. In support of this, right, means you worship Krishna because he is the basis of Brahman. You want to merge in Brahman. You worship him, the person. You can merge in Brahman. But just worshiping Brahman, how you get to Brahman? Because how will Brahman interact with you? Like that. So that's the point, is that he is the basis of Brahman. So even you want liberation, want Kaivalya, you get it by worshiping Krishna. In support of this, Vishnu Purana 6776, interesting numbers, says Vishnu is the shelter of all auspiciousness and the Brahman. Right? So that's the Brahman itself, the existence of things. And then auspiciousness means, you know, what are the appropriate activities and their results and who's qualified to do what and all that. So all that, he's the shelter of all that. So if you say he's the shelter of auspiciousness and the Brahman, you basically just said the existence and the mechanics of everything. Then there's the rasa that is tasted by service, by bhakti, right? So that's why the others, they're following the Vedic culture. It's auspicious. Because they're following in this situation, these activities can be done. These would be considered auspicious. This person has these qualifications. They're qualified to act in those actions in that situation and get a proper result and all that. And it's all the Vedic things. But the point is then where's Krishna in that? That's the shortcoming if someone is only following the Vedic rules and regulations, but not in bhakti. So in karma and jnana, that's what they're doing. They're simply taking the situations and the qualifications for those situations as given in Shastra. And they follow those very carefully. But the problem is the goal to please Krishna is not there. They do that to please themselves. Therefore, they're being part and parcel of Krishna. They'll never be pleased. They're only pleased with the idea that I got what I wanted to get, but the result itself won't please them. So it doesn't matter what you do in the material world, you'll never be pleased. Even if it's pious, they want people. That's why they go around in the samsara. They did all the pious things. They got everything. And then it didn't give them a taste and all that. And then, you know, but all those other guys seem happy and they're doing nonsense. So then like that, and they're down here. Then you're miserable as anything. And then you want to then say, well, these guys are doing that and they're doing good things. They seem to be happy. So then you start the pious things till you get to the top, and then you just keep going around and around and around he goes, right? Where it stops, only Krishna knows, right? So that's what's going on. So here, that's the point, is that there's those two. So what we're doing is we're thinking, oh no, but I'm doing all these things, but it's not complete, and you have to add Krishna. So even doing the Vedic, if you don't add Krishna, it won't be complete and you won't be satisfied. Yes.
My wife has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Please.
Yes, I can definitely understand Krishna being Rasa. Okay. But I also wonder about Srimati Radharani, because she's giving, in one sense, maybe she also is, could one say she's Krishna's Rasa? Or how can one...
She's taking the position of Hladini Shakti. She's the Sarup Shakti, means she is all the Shaktis combined. But she's taking the position of Hladini Shakti, which is Krishna's pleasure potency. And then from her expansions come pleasure at all other levels of the Vishnu Tattva, you know, and then that transformation, then is Yoga Maya, all the transformation. So in other words, Radharani is taking that position of Krishna's pleasure as a Sarup Shakti, because see, Krishna is unlimited, right? So on his desires, there's unlimited fine points that could go. So the only one that can actually deal with that is the Sarup Shakti, who has the what do you call that? The counterpart. Every feature of Krishna, she has the counterpart, because she, as he is the complete Godhead, she is the complete Shakti. So every feature that he has, she has the counterpart. So only Radharani can please. It's not like, oh, but this gopi, she's also good, or that one, that. No, only Radharani. The others are there to enhance the pastimes. So as Krishna expands as Balaram, then Radharani will expand. You know, and as he expands as Narayan, she'll expand as Lakshmi, you know, like this, as he, like this, and it just goes. So there's, so she is that. And so then, just as Krishna, as we mentioned, that he's expanded a Balaram to take care of we were saying, the situational and the mechanical aspects of what goes on, then she is expanded as Yoga Maya. She's also a chit potency of Sarup Shakti, that she deals with all those. In other words, Yoga Maya arranges that, you know, the situation will be like this, and then these devotees will be there, and these things could be done, and all those things. But she's doing that simply to serve Radharani, just as Balaram is arranging just to please Krishna. Right? Mm-hmm. So does that make sense?
Yeah,
so the point is, Krishna is still rasa, but the point is how he tastes that rasa is through the exchange with Srimati Radharani.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, that makes sense.
Okay.
So then we also give that pleasure in one sense. We give that pleasure to Krishna.
Somehow. We give that pleasure to Krishna through Radharani, through the Acharyas. Means, in other words, Radharani knows how to please Krishna. See, is that she's unlimited, Krishna's unlimited. We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Right?
Mm.
So, in other words, Krishna, you know, Krishna is bigger than the biggest, right? Mahanarayan is the biggest. Krishna is bigger than that. And he's smaller than the smallest. Who's the smallest? That's us. The jivas, we're the smallest. But he's smaller than that because he sits in the heart of the jiva. So, you know, therefore we can add. Right? That's how we give pleasure, by adding to. Does that make sense? Just like, okay, let's say I give you a sandwich. Okay, that's nice. Now, if let's say along with that sandwich, you have a plate to put it on, that's even nicer. Right? Mm-hmm. Then along with the plate, then you have, let's say, a napkin. You know, because now and again they make a mess, you know, then along with that, let's say then there's a drink, and that drink has a glass, you know, and then let's say we put a nice, we have a nice table, and then a nice chair. And then on the table, we put some nice, you know, there's some decorations, then that table is in a nice room, you know, and then you have nice lighting. You know, and you have the people over in the corner, you know, playing their violin and things like that. So all these things are there. But if you just had the guy, just nice lighting and nothing to eat, it's not, it's a nice, great lights. But, you know, the lights are there to enhance the situation, to just make the situation nice for what? For some particular activity. So Radharani is who's pleasing Krishna. And we're all those things that add on.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Yeah. So that's the point, is it becomes big, better and better as you go. But it's all those. But if you had that huge thing and everything's there and everyone's in whatever it is, their tuxedos. Now, maybe the sandwich is not the actual good situation because we've moved beyond that. It's gotten so sophisticated. But whatever it is, you have whatever it is, there's the meal. and you know, some very nice, refined, and sophisticated. They have all these arrangements, but you remove the meal and leave everything else, and it's kind of like it has no meaning. It's kind of like, okay, great things, okay, but what are we going to eat? What's the drink? Yeah, you know, and you're just there alone. There's no one else there, right? No, but it's because other people are there. There's talking, there's laughing, there's eating, there's drinking, there's, you know, whatever it is that's going on. That's what makes it makes it go. But you take away those things of the interaction with people, and then that based through eating and drinking, then it has no meaning. Does that make sense?
Yes, Manish. Yes.
Yeah, so that's the point. There's Radharani and Krishna. Then you add the Astasakhi and then their assistants and then so many of the gopis and all that. Then you add Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba and their thing and their whole arrangement. Then you add all the cowherd boys and you add the cows, you know, then the forest of Vrindavan, the Yamuna River, Govardhan Hill. You add, you know, and then it all goes out and then it has the meaning. But you take out Radha and Krishna, then.
That's material world.
Yeah.
No, that, Rasa.
That's the point is we've removed Krishna and then we're wondering why there's no Rasa.
Yeah.
You know.
Is Maharaj, I mean, Lakshmi is still the same person, Srimad Radharani in the different.
Yeah. But it's just a different mood. So therefore, she's going to interact with the surrounding as Lakshmi because she is the support of Narayan in that particular form. You know, but that's why then, you know, like someone like Srila Prabhupada goes and he's seeing Lakshmi Narayan, he'll be interacting with as Lakshmi Narayan, but it's, you know, Radha and Krishna come as Lakshmi Narayan. So, you know, they've had that, you know, it'd be just like, let's say, let us say you have some really good friends, right? And they come over to your house. You know, I mean, they come over to your house regularly and, you know, dressed how they normally dress. But let's say they come over dressed up as, you know, some kind of, you know, medieval knights or something. You know, they come in talking like the knights and they're dressed like them and they walk around like them. So then the fun is you're going to talk to them like they're knights and, you know, like that, and oh, my Lord, come sit, and this and that, and all these things. And, you know, does that make sense? You know, so that's what you're going to do, but you know who it is. So it is Radha and Krishna, but it's just they've come as Lakshmi Nrisinga or Lakshmi Narayan or, you know, like that. Does
what
that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Who are these, like, mentioned, I don't know, unlimited, I don't remember the number, but Lakshmis who are, like, you know, cleaning the dust where there is no dust.
Yes, 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 yes. But that's there's, you have also is that the feminine feature is also an expansion of Lakshmi. Just like the wife in the house is called Griha Lakshmi. Griha means the house, you know, means that, you know, that's centered around the Lord. She's the Griha Lakshmi. So she's the Lakshmi of the house. You know, that's why when the Griha Lakshmi is happy, then the Griha goes well. And when the Griha Lakshmi is not happy, things don't go as well. So it's all that same kind of potency, but it comes down to just like Dana Lakshmi. Is that Lakshmi, all the Hindus are worshiping Lakshmi for money. So the Lakshmi that's there and, you know, all the gold coins and she has the elephants there and that whole thing, that's not Narayan's Lakshmi. That's Dana Lakshmi. She's an expansion of Narayan's Lakshmi. Because Narayan's Lakshmi isn't given any materialist anything, right? So in her form as Dana Lakshmi, then she takes care of these things. You know, just like Yoga Maya doesn't take care of things in the material world. She does that as Mahamaya. It's the same person, but she just takes this other feature and form to take care of that. Because in her mood as Yoga Maya, she only takes care of what's for Krishna's pleasure. And here, then she takes care how the living entity wants to be happy, but in line with Krishna's rules in that and how he says the world works. So the rules in that, how things work, she follows all those. So if you're going against those, then you're going to get into trouble. And if you're following them, then you're going to be benefited. So those who are pious follow the God's laws. They move up on the food chain, and those who don't move down on the food chain. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So it's you have this point because you have the person and then you have the potencies. But at the same time for Krishna, the potencies are also personal. So you're going to have you know, you have Krishna, you have Balaram, and you have Mahanarayan or Vasudeva. It's still all him, but because of the mood difference, then you're going to deal with them in that mood. So that's why Balaram, even though he's non-different from Krishna, Prabhupada says the only difference between the two of them in potency is that, or the difference between them is Krishna is black, Balaram's white. But Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and Balaram is the supreme servitor, right? The supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So that means all other means and every all other Vishnu Tattvas are expanding from Balaram. So that means all other Vishnu Tattvas are all servants of Krishna. But of them, Balaram is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. And they're the personality of servitor Godhead, but he's the supreme person. Like Narayan is the personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. You know? Like that. It's just you make these distinctions. So therefore Balaram, then you're going to deal with him like Balaram. So it just means if you have something where it's like you know, Radha and Krishna, or can I say Lakshmi and Narayan, then you know it's Krishna in that, but still they have that mood you're going to do. So that mood makes the difference. I don't remember the detail, but I think you have the, I'm not sure if it's this Prakash and Vilas, or there's some of the divisions there that one means is same personality, just expanded, like Krishna and the Rasa dance, or Krishna with the queens at Dwarka. Same Krishna, just there's 16,108 expansions that all have the same personality. Just he is expanded to be with each wife like that. But Balaram will be a different personality. So you have those two aspects. So it's just a matter of appreciating like that. But it's all goes back to Krishna. That's why we don't make such a distinction between Narayan and Krishna, because they are Krishna. But the point is we like, just like, let's say, for example, we go back to that friend where the friend is shown up as, you know, some medieval knight or something like that. So fun. But you still, and you go, it's fun, but you actually prefer just talking with him as your friend. You know, but it's not that you don't know. So Krishna's come as Narayan, you deal in everything and all those things. But the point is your taste is what you want to interact is with Krishna. So someone else that's that, you know, means we appreciate Krishna and has come as the, you know, as Sita and Ram. So we worship and everything like that, but we prefer the taste of serving there. Just like the sages at Dandakaranya, when they saw Lord Ramachandra, then it inspired them in a conjugal affection that they wanted to serve him as the Supreme Lord, as his consorts. But Ram made the point is, I only have one wife. That's my vow. I said, one wife, one word, one arrow. It means one arrow means if I decide I'm killing that guy, that I only need one arrow to do it. I don't need two. Like when he decided to kill Ravana, it was one arrow. And so then he made arrangements that all those sages at Dandakaranya would take birth as gopis in Braj when he came in Krishna Lila. So when you have a particular mood or like that, then you're with Krishna in that particular form. So if we want to serve Krishna in Braja, then we have to know the mood of the Goswamis. They can take us there. And if we don't, then we end up who knows where. You know, I mean, if it's about Krishna, it'll be in the spiritual world, but we follow the Acharyas under following Srila Prabhupada, then we're going to get to the Braj that they're talking about. Is that okay?
So these Lakshmis, they are already, they are expansions, but they are separate personalities already, those
yeah,
who are.
They have a different personality because they're, because see, for Lakshmi, that's why it said Lakshmi can't enter the Rasa dance, because for her, Krishna is her husband. But for the gopis, Krishna is not their husband. So she can't enter. She does all this austerities and this and that, but she won't be able to enter because she can't give up. Her identity is that of the wife of Narayan. So she can't deal in the Parakeya mood. You know, even though they may have fun, they might, husband and wife may have date night, you know, like as if they've never met each other before, and oh, you know, like this, and then, you know, like that. But the point is they do know that they are married. But for the gopis, they're not married. The mentality is Parakeya. The queens at Dwarka, they're queens. They're married. So that's the point, is you can, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can I still ask this thing that we are, our, you know, line is basically aiming for this, or let's say the opportunity to get the highest and the, how would I say, most, or I say intimate or fine kind of dealings. At the same time, clearly from Prabhupada's books and from the lectures we have, we are much on this kind of, how would I say, it's a certain line which is quite different than, for example, those Rasika stuff we hear often there, which we may have some problem to understand what they really, but the thing is that that how is this our approach, like, you know, matching with those highest lilas, which are kind of a little, how would I say, beyond our understanding. So I don't know if I make it clear enough. I try to make just a point that, you know, this nice systematic.
Because okay, let's say we have a little girl, 5-year-old girl, even 4-year-old girl, right? We'll take princess age, right? So the 4-year-old girl, and in her mind, you know, means if she's from a nice family and everything's going nice and nice relatives, she expects to get married. And she's going to have a family and all that, and, you know, like that, and everything's going to be nice and all that, right? But the point is now she, at that age, then what is the appropriate thing for her to do as a 4-year-old, right? Learn how to, you know, behave herself, speak nicely, deal nicely, have proper relations with others, you know, learn the various techniques of what she would do to be prosperous in family life and all that, and the relations and all these kind of things, you know, and dressing nicely and all this, and, you know, having the proper mood and all that. That's how she's going to get there. She has all that. Then when the time comes, then, you know, when she hits puberty, then now she knows what it means, you know, a husband. Before that, it's a general idea. But now, does that mean the 4-year-old has to sit around and, you know, think about, you know, intimate relations with her husband and all this kind of stuff? And that's how she's going to be the good family person? No. So that's the point. Is sadhakas, what they've given and all that. In other words, they're telling you where we're going, but they're telling you what you do to get there. And if you say, no, it's not that. You have to do what they do there to get there. No, there's a process. That's like saying, okay, you are where you are. Let's say you want to get to Vrindavan. So you just say, I'm in Vrindavan. So you start dealing with everybody as if they're Brajbasis and start speaking, you know, in Hindi or Braj Bhasha and all that, and to the people there in Navadweep, and they're all going, what's wrong with this guy? You know, and all that, and therefore I'm there. No, you have to go, you have to get vehicle, get to Calcutta, get on some kind of transport, get yourself up to that side, and then get yourself to Vrindavan, and then you're there. So if I'm telling you how to get there, no, you know, but this is all external things like this and secondary, you know, getting a taxi and going to Calcutta and going to the airport or the train station. I want the real thing, the real rasa of Vrindavan. So just that, this is all, that's why we call it sahajya. Yeah. Sahaj means easy. They don't want to put in the work. That's all. And so therefore, by speaking all kinds of nice things, like it's like a politician tells you, yeah, you vote for me and, you know, we'll bring down prices, make everybody this, you know, we're going to, you know, tax the rich, give it to you, the poor, and this and that, and everything's going to be fabulous, your wonderful life's going to, you're going to vote for him. Are you going to get any of that? No, because he's just doing that because by doing that, you like him, he gets things and this and that. So they can sit around talking all these high things like that. But, you know, by listening to that or following them, you'll never get there. And when I say never, I mean, not by doing what they're doing. You know, maybe if you give that up and then follow what our acharyas say, yes, or, you know. But by following what they're talking about, you will never get there, literally. So, yeah, we may have hundreds or thousands of individuals who say, no, this is the real thing. They will not get there, not following that. Not at all. Krishnanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is his purport, then he makes it very, very point, is that you have the proper process, the proper path, the proper association, and you give that up to follow these sahajiyas, you will never get to Vrindavan. Why? Because it's a personal thing. It's not, I'm saying, I'm doing this, I'm going to get there. That's not how you get into a party. Do I say, I want to be at this party and just walk in the door and okay, here I am, you know, and then start going over and interacting with everybody. They'll all go, who is this guy? You know, the point is you're invited. And so the point is they won't trust you. You have the proper path. You leave it for someone else that you think it's going to be quicker. They won't trust you. You will not get into Vrindavan. It's that simple. They like, don't like this and that, but, you know, the truth hurts. You know, they can think whatever they like, then there's reality. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as one of the Lord's associates, is saying, we won't trust you. Therefore, you have the path, you're following our acharya, you follow the line there, try your best and all that. You know, sometimes you do well, sometimes you don't, but Krishna, you know, Krishna says in Gita, what he preserves what you have and makes up for what you lack, and you will get there. But you go off and think, oh, this is the shortcut. I'll do this and that, and I'll go, you know, do all these things. Then, no, you won't. You won't get there. It's that straightforward. You can say, no, it's not like that. It's all about the Bhav. And it's like, yeah, and but it's about your Bhav. It says about the Bhav, meaning my Bhav. Not that it's about Krishna and the Brajabasi's Bhav. That's what it's about. And if you're not supporting their Bhav, then you know it's not happening. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It makes sense. Thank you.
It really makes sense. So we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bhav Gaura Hari Bhav, Jai Nitai.